Right? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the simplicity of your word that has come to me. As I've heard it, I ask you in the name of Jesus, help me to deliver it so easily. Thank you for your cloud of glory that is here right now. Cloud of glory that is upon everyone in their household. Thank you for even opening somebody's eyes to literally see that cloud, that presence with them right now, around them, in their room, in that living room, in that family, in that heart. And I thank you upon that heart as you brood, right, as you brooded in Genesis 1, the Spirit of the Lord was upon the face of the waters, where there was darkness, where there was emptiness, where there was void. Lord God Almighty, I pray right now, speak your word. Change every heart. Transform that heart. With the seed of your word, let it fall on that heart that becomes a good ground, ready to receive, ready to germinate your word and bring forth fruit for your glory. Thank you because somebody's healed right now. Thank you because somebody's set free right now, just because you said so, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today, I will be speaking on what I'll title, Prepare for the Unexpected. Or what I will just call, How to Prepare for the Unexpected. How to Prepare for the Unexpected, or Prepare for the Unexpected. Now, preparation is very important. For a seed to be planted on the earth itself needs to be cultivated, tilled, prepared to receive the seed so that the seed can be planted right in the earth and that seed will go forth into the earth and be able to take root downwards and grow upwards to bring forth fruit outwards. Downwards, upwards, outwards, but there needs to be a preparation of that earth. Now, your heart is like that. And I pray right now that your heart will be prepared to receive this word. How to prepare for the unexpected. Now, before we go into that, I'd like to make some declarations. And I want you to make these declarations right now. Just declare. Just declare, right? As I declare, you just simply declare, as I declare to you right now. So what are we going to declare? Now we are declaring, first of all, let me give you a background to why we are making this declaration. Right? Let me just give you a background, a quick background, why we are making this declaration. You see, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 60, and I read verse 1 and 2, which is from the Amplified Version, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. For in fact, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness will cover the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, Jerusalem. Please put your name where that Jerusalem is. My name is Fola. The Lord will rise upon you, Fola, and his glory and brilliance will be seen on you. I know what somebody's thinking. That song is playing in your heart. Jerusalem, Ado, whatever it is. But just take that away now. Let's have fun this morning. But the Lord will rise upon me, Olufolahan, and his glory and brilliance will be seen on me. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to make this declaration. Let me share my screen again with you what we're going to declare. And as we declare these things, declare with me. You only just simply need to say it after me as I say it now. Right? So based on Isaiah chapter 60, we're going to declare together. Are we ready? Right? You and your household. The youngest child, no matter how young they are, if they can parrot this. When I say parrot, you know, when children start learning to talk, the first thing they usually do is to repeat after you. Be like that little child right now. Declare these things because your words are very powerful today. If you woke up with negativity, as you declare these words will shine into that darkness and take away every negativity. Right, declare with me right now. In the name of Jesus,
I arise today,
and I shine because
God is my light and salvation.
I arise because
The light of God shines into me
and through me,
into every darkness in the world.
In Jesus' name,
I am radiant with the glory,
splendor,
majesty,
and honor of the Lord.
The glory and brilliance of the Lord upon me
makes me to shine before nations.
In the name of Jesus,
people come to my light,
and I shine with the glory
and brilliance of the Lord.
I create solutions
and solve problems on the earth.
In the name of Jesus.
To the glory of God,
I solve people's problems,
and they bring gold and silver to me.
To the glory of God.
In the midst of darkness,
my light will always be seen.
And I will always shine
to the glory of God.
In the name of Jesus,
I am radiant with the glory,
splendor,
majesty,
and honor of the Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
How to prepare for the unexpected.
Now, let me define something clearly to us right now, so that we begin to understand what this unexpected actually is.
Now, from now henceforth, now start replacing that word unexpected with,
let me share my slide,
right? The unexpected is to expect God to perform miracles.
Unexpected, replace it with the word miracle.
So expect the miraculous, or expect miracles in your life.
So expect God to perform miracles in your life.
By miracles, I mean impossible things.
Impossible things.
And number two, whenever you hear expect the unexpected means something new in your life.
So expect God to do something new in your life.
Expect God to do something new in your life.
Today, I want to share with us, looking at a spiritual principle from Genesis chapter 12.
Genesis chapter 12, we see a man that the unexpected began to happen to.
Was he expecting the unexpected?
Let's look at this story in Genesis chapter 12. And I read from verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, and verse number 3.
Genesis is the first book in the Bible.
Now, in Genesis chapter 1, reading from the Amplified Version, the Bible says,
now in Haran, note that word,
that's a place called Haran,
the Lord had said to Abram,
go away from your country
and from your relatives
and from your father's house
to the land which I will show you.
And then verse 2 says, the consequences of verse 1 is what we will see in verse 2 right now.
Let me read verse 1 again.
And now in Haran, the Lord had said to Abram, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. That is the instruction. The consequences of the obedience to these instructions, we begin to see in verse 2. And I, the Lord, will make you a great nation. And I will bless you abundantly and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. And I will bless, do good for, benefit those who bless you. And I will curse, that is subject to my wrath and judgment, the one who curses, despises, dishonors, has contempt for you. And in you, all the families, nations of the earth will be blessed. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 12, 1, 2, 3, that we just saw, was Abraham prepared for the unexpected? That's the big question. Now, for us to understand that, you need to understand who this man Abraham at this point in his life actually was. Who was this man Abraham? Now, you need to, if you go backwards to Genesis, the previous chapter, and verse 11, you will see the genealogy of Abraham. And in his genealogy, the Bible points us to his father. He had a father. And you see that in Genesis chapter 11, and let's see exactly, from verse 24, okay? Let's go from verse 24. The grandfather of Abraham was a man called Nahor. And Nahor gave birth to the father of Abraham called Terah. Now, Terah now gave birth, your guess is good, Abraham. And Abraham also had another brother called, Nahor. Now, look at this. His father was, let me just adjust my sound properly here. His father, Abraham's father, was a man called Terah. And Terah did something. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11 that Terah, that's Abraham's father that we see in Genesis 12, he decided that he was going to move. He was going to relocate. He was going to relocate to another country from where they were originally from. They were from a place called the Ur in the of the Chaldees. Now, you need to understand the awe of the Chaldees. It's a place, I spare us the geography of the place, but let me tell you one of the practices of the people in Ur. They were superstitious people. They worshiped the moon. They were idolaters. They don't know God. So if you're watching this broadcast, somebody tagged you on this broadcast, and you don't know God, you don't even care whoever God is, you know what? You stay tuned. I'm about to explain something to you today. I was like that many years ago, 38 years ago. I didn't know God. I didn't care about God. I didn't believe there was the existence of God. So what changed? Listen, you just keep listening, right? So Terah decided he was relocating from a place called Ur. And he took Abraham, his son. Now, at that time, his name was called Abram. So if you see that in your Bible, he's still the same person. Now, he took his son, and then he took Lot. Now, Lot at this time was Abraham's nephew. Abraham's brother Nahor had died. So he had a son. He left a son behind called Lot. So Abraham's father took Abraham, and took Lot, his grandchild. Abraham was his son. Terah was father to Abraham. Lot was grandson to Terah. So he takes Abraham, takes Lot, and Abraham's wife, and they decided they were relocating. They changed location. They moved from the all of the Chaldees. They moved away from a place where they were known for idol worshiping, moon worship. They didn't believe in the supreme God, but they had an idol they believed in. So they went, they left the all of the Chaldees, and they decided, Terah decided he was taking his whole family to a place called Canaan. Now, something that happened along the way. When they got to a place along the way called Haran, that Haran, according to the Bible, was just 550 miles northwest. So they had journeyed for like 550 miles northwest. By the way, I'm broadcasting from the northwest of England, Liverpool, where God lives, where God's presence is, just joking. All right. So they had traveled for 550 miles. Just follow this story. And they came to a place called Haran. Their original destination was Canaan. But they got to a place called Haran. And they, you know what? They settled there. They decided to settle. Follow the story carefully. Terah takes his family, his son Abraham, nephew. Abraham, his wife, Sarai, decides, you know what? Let's leave the Ur and let's go to Canaan. But they journeyed 550 miles, according to Bible history, and decided, you know what? This place is Haran. Let's settle in Haran. So they settled in Haran. Your guess is good. The original destination was where? Canaan. So they got to Haran and they settled. And you know what happened? Terah, 205 years, when he was 205 years old, he died in Haran. Terah remembers Abraham's father. So the journey had a destination, but midway or somewhere along the way, not sure if it was actually midway, they decided to settle. And I'm giving a prophetic word to someone right here. You had an original destination, but you got somewhere, you settled. You settled for mediocrity. You didn't settle for the original. You settled for a duplicate, not the original. You settled for that Photoshop, but not the original photo you got from the shop that you will get to the shop. You know, you've traveled long enough. You're almost getting to the shop where you will get the photo. But you got a Photoshop and you decided to settle for the Photoshop. You know, the Photoshop is not the real thing. So you've got a Photoshop rather than getting to the shop to get the actual original photo. I'm speaking in parables. Now, you've settled halfway. But this is a new year, 2021. God is stirring up something within you. You have settled in a place called Haran. And Haran is not your original destination. And I'm not just talking about a physical location. I'm talking about your destiny in God. The purpose and plans of God for your life. Do not settle for a duplicate. Don't settle for a photocopy. Don't just settle, you know what? I've waited all these years. I'm not married. Any man. Just bring any man, any woman. Just bring as long as she has a womb. Listen, do not settle. At Haran, don't settle for Haran. I'm speaking prophetically. You did not just tune to watch this broadcast. The Spirit of God is interpreting this clearly to you, very clearly. I am saying Haran, but you are hearing something else. That is the Spirit of God. And if you're not hearing well, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the simplicity of the truth that God is about to pass across to you will be clear, very clear, openly clear, simply clear, like you can hear me, like you can really, literally, you see me right on this, on your screen, it will be so clear to you, so clear as you know your name, what God is about and to say and what God is saying to you at this time. Remember, we're talking about how to prepare for the unexpected. You probably didn't expect you would hear what you just heard today. Listen, do not settle. There is a destination. Don't get to a bus stop and settle at the bus stop. The bus stop is different from the terminus. The terminus is where the journey ends. Along the way, there are bus stops. Bus stops. The bus just stops either to drop some passengers or to pick up new passengers. But for you, you boarded that bus to go to its terminus. Don't be like someone I used to know. You'd done this exam and kept failing the exam and, you know, wanted to get into university and, you know, didn't get into university. He planned to do a certain course. He was failing and all that. He said, you know, I'm just tired. I am tired. And I'm going to right now any course. I'm just going to do any course, whether it's relevant or not relevant to what my plans are. Anything, just bring anything. Listen, do not settle for anything. Settle for something that God has told you. Do not give up. This message is to fire you up. Reignite that fire. I know someone, I prayed with someone last week. Sometimes they had written these exams like 1, 2, 3 times, failed, and it was almost like their last time. And, you know, threat from the office and all that. Listen, we said, can God do the impossible? Can God actually do the impossible? Can the Holy Spirit show you the exam questions even before you go for the exams? We looked at the scriptures. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. The Bible tells us God knows the end from the beginning. Maybe it's time to change the way you pray. Stop asking God, I want to pass. Just tell God, show me how to pass. Lead me, guide me. You know the questions that will come out at that exam. So Lord, show me those questions and guide me to prepare for the questions. I tell you something, you will agree with me. The fact that you failed an exam does not mean you're not intelligent. The fact that you failed does not mean you're a failure. You know your stuff. It just happened that when you went to the exam hall, where you read was not where it came out. That's why you need the Spirit of God, my brother, my sister. Look, young man, young woman, boy, girl, change your prayer and expect miracles. Expect God to do the impossible. Expect God to do something new. How do we prepare? Let's go back to our man, Abraham. So Genesis chapter 12 tells us now, God tells him, leave your father's house. Leave. Let me just go to the slide I want us to go to. Now, let me remind us of 4 things that we said and defined, broke down last week, unexpected. Number 1, expect God to remember you. Number 2, expect God to give you what you have forgotten and even stopped praying for. Number 3, expect God to give you what you did not even pray for because of his own higher purpose for you and others on the earth. You expect it. You didn't pray for it. But because God has a higher purpose, he gives you what you didn't even pray for. We saw that last week in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And number 4, expect the glory of God upon you and his light to shine through you in the midst of all the darkness on the earth. Between last Sunday that we met online and this Sunday, have you seen how it's grown darker, especially if you live in the UK where we live? Right the following day, the Prime Minister comes on the live broadcast and puts the nation into a total lockdown. Listen, that is darkness. And we told us last week, listen this year, It's going to get darker. Gross darkness upon the earth. Gross darkness upon the people. Everywhere. It doesn't mean that that's the end. It means that in the midst of the darkness, you will shine. Because it takes darkness for light, the power, the potency of light to be seen. It takes darkness for light to be appreciated. I say to you, you're watching this broadcast, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all the darkness around, you are going to be appreciated. Your life will appreciate. While things around may be depreciating, you will be appreciated in the name of Jesus. I am telling you the word of the Lord today. Now, let's go back to our Abraham. So, how did he prepare for this unexpected? I wanted you to know that God, he didn't know God. He had absolutely no knowledge of God. I gave us his background. He's from an idolatrous country, and then God comes to him. A God he wasn't seeking for. A God he didn't know. God came to him right there in Haran, where his father had settled all of them, and his father unfortunately died. He died with his dream of going to Canaan. He died with the dream of moving his family to the destination, their original destination. So today, I'm just laying a foundation. Be ready to leave old things. That's the first thing. You must be ready. I'll share two things with us today, and we will wrap it up. From next week, we will break it down more and more. How do I prepare for the unexpected? Be ready to leave old things. Walk away from some things. You must be ready to leave old things. Old things. You see, we can break that down. You must be ready to walk away from old things. Now, let's look at Abraham from that passage, Genesis chapter 12. What did God tell him to walk away from? What did God tell him to leave? The Bible says, leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your father's or family house, and go to a land I will show you, Canaan. God told him to go to Canaan. Your guess is good. Where was their original destination when they started with his father? Canaan. But they settled in Haran, and his father, Terah, unfortunately died in Haran. You must be ready to leave mediocrity. You must be ready to leave that midway. You know, your journey is halfway, or even three quarters of the way, or even 90% of the way. You're about to give up. No. An athlete that's been running a marathon, because that's what life at times is like. Life is like a marathon. You run and run and run and run and run. You're about to see, to sight the finished tape, and you are out of breath. In the name of Jesus, receive life right now. Mm-hmm. Receive a refreshing. Receive a fresh breath from God. Mm-hmm. That burst of energy into your mind, your heart, into your soul, into your spirit. I speak the word of the Lord to you. I say in the name of Jesus, be reignited, be fired up. Yes, receive strength in your physical, mortal body. Receive strength in your mind. Receive power, enabling power, the grace of God, the divine enablement of God to move from that era as you're going to get to that Canaan. You must, number one, how do we prepare for the unexpected? How do we prepare for the miraculous? How do we prepare for new things? You must be ready to leave old things behind. You must be ready to leave old things. Now, let's break that down. Let's look at Abraham closely. What were these three things mentioned in that scripture? Let me share the screen again so we see. Number one, in that verse one, leave your country. Leave your country. Listen, if you are watching from an African country, you're watching from a third world country, I'm not being funny, and I'm serious now. I am very, very serious. I am saying this by the grace of God. I am unapologetically born, bred, and full-blooded, you know, biologically, everything, my genes, DNA, you can trace it back to Nigeria. Now, I am saying this, that this is literally not what I'm saying, that you should leave your country. Leave your country ties. What your country is limiting you from achieving. You see, I talk to a lot of my friends. That's the first thing. Three things: country ties, relatives, family ties, and father's ties. When I say tie, the things tying you down, the limitations that are holding you. Now, let me say this. I discuss with a lot of my friends, associates, and people who still live. I'm right now, as I'm speaking from Merseyside, United Kingdom. Now, I'm discussing with people, friends who are still, you know, based in Nigeria, Africa, and some other parts of the world there. And one of the things that I realized when we're discussing is that they say, this country is messed up. Our country is useless. Nothing can happen in our country again. Nothing can ever happen. Listen, if you talk like that, if you see like that, that's a country tie. That's what God is saying. Leave that mindset. It is not an accident that God chose you, that God planted you in your mother's womb, and you were born where you were born. You had no choice over that. God chose you from the foundation of the earth, and God knows that that is where you will flourish. That is where you will flourish. Somebody saying, so what are you doing in the United Kingdom? I tell you something, and I say this, God is my witness. I speak the truth. I lie not. I am here because God told me to. My heart and a lot of things that I do personally is I realize that I'm getting empowered and I'm getting to be able to say these things looking from outside, that wherever you are located, wherever you were born, it's not an accident. You can prosper there. There are so many things personally I am achieving in my country home while I'm here. I am achieving. There are a lot of people that I'm influencing. And if you're watching, listen, this is one strong message. Leave that country tie, that limitation, that thinking that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Listen, Jesus was not born in Buckingham Palace. He was born in a stinking manger, surrounded by stinking animals, surrounded with animal poo. Listen, that may sound funny, but in the midst of that, the king was born. And I'm telling you, you are a king. That's why Jesus is called the King of Kings. You are a king in your own right. Start thinking like a king. Don't limit yourself to your country tie. That's the first thing, country tie. Second thing, leave your father's house. Family ties. In my family, we don't achieve. In my family, the greatest, the highest anybody gets is to get a first degree. Nobody has ever done this in my family. Nobody has ever achieved this in my family. Listen, break that tie. Break that mental deadlock that has locked up your mind. You are a manifestation of the glory of God. And guess where you're going to shine? Where it is dark. That's why you are still in that place. But break off from that family tie. Understand that this scripture is going deeper. Country tie, leave your father's house, family ties. It's not about your family. Don't let your family thinking tie you. Don't let them say nobody. You've got to be that pace setter. You've got to break that hold. You've got to break that barrier. You've got to change your thinking. That's why you are hearing this word today. For you to expect the unexpected, prepare to leave family ties behind. Leave family ties behind. I tell you something, let me repeat this. You can get out of your country, do everything, relocate to another country. If you still have the mentality of your country tie and your family tie, you will not make it whatever country you go to. You are only carrying that same mindset, and it will set your mind and set you. Listen, break from that country tie. Break from family tie. What's the third instruction God gave Abraham? Leave your father's house. Let me tell you something. The Bible is clear. The Bible is real. There are iniquities from fathers, fourth generations ago that can still affect you. And God says he visits that iniquity. But you know what? When you come into Christ, when you hear the word of the Lord, when you receive salvation, when you become a new creature, all those family ties, you can literally cut yourself off in the name of Jesus. Nobody does it for you. You have to do it. When we go next week and we begin to see some other things, you will see how a man called Gideon, he literally had to be the one to go pull down the altars, the idolatrous altars, worship that his father and his father's house were worshiping. It's up to you. Do something about it. Break from country ties, break from family ties, and break from father ties. The iniquities of your fathers, they don't have to affect you anymore. And right now, in the name of Jesus, as you obey, like Abraham, did you see what God said? God now told him, if you do that, I will bless you. Look at that. I will make you a great nation. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 12. I will bless you. I will make you famous. Your name will be great, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless you, and those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Listen, prepare for the unexpected, miracles, new things. You've got to be ready to walk away, leave old things behind. I tell you something for you, a new walk, a new beginning with God, there are some things you must be ready to walk away from. Sometimes things tie you down, limiting you, that you have to walk away from. Listen, I will end with this. Two things. Pray right now that God will show you things you need to leave, some things you need to walk away from, some relationships, some toxic environments that are doing you no good, some probably things you visit online that you need to walk away from. Pray that God will show you those things you need to leave behind. You need to leave to become. You must leave for you to become what God wants you to be. A child growing in the mother's womb is tied to the mother. The child grows to some extent, but if the child wants to become what God created the child for, there comes a day where that child needs to leave the mother's womb, where the umbilical cord attaching that child to the mother needs to be cut, severed. In the name of Jesus, I say to you, spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever ties, because some people are literally limited by some things. I'm saying this with every conviction and due respect that their mothers told them. Their mothers have literally limited them. Their mothers have literally killed their potentials, killed their creativity, and told them, no, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. Listen to me, mother. Why are you always telling your child what they cannot do? How about telling them what they can do and stop telling them what they can't do? Have you not noticed that if you keep hearing what you can't do, what you can't do, what you can't do, you become defensive. You don't become progressive because you are only told what you can't do. But the moment you are told what you can do, you become progressive. You start moving. A child that wants to become must leave their mother's womb to become all God created them to be. In the name of Jesus. The second and the last thing, as we close and I begin to pray for anyone right now that needs to pray, and we will pray for one another, you will pray for yourself first, is that let me show you what you need to do. Number one, be ready to leave all things, walk away from some things. And number two, be ready to fully surrender your heart and your life to your Creator and Maker, and that is God. Be ready to fully surrender your heart, completely your heart, surrender your heart, your life to your Creator and Maker. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The new creation has arrived, or that person has become a new creation. The old things have gone. Look, behold, everything is made new. The new has come. Walk away from the old so that you can become new. But don't just walk away. Walk away surrendering your whole heart, your life to your Creator and Maker God. And you're saying, how can I do that? How can I do that? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, and the Bible declares about Jesus, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You must be ready to walk away from the world, your old ways, and surrender that old heart and receive a new heart. He says, I will give you a new heart. A new heart. You have to prepare for this unexpected. These are three things you can do. And number one is just our focus today. Surrender your heart and exchange it for a new heart. And be ready to start doing one thing with God, for God, this 2021. You must give your whole life as an offering to God. Give your cash, give your kind, give your time, give your skills, surrender all to God. Can we pray right now in the name of Jesus? Oh, let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. As you open these family ties, what are these family ties? Country ties. Ties from my father's house. Listen, you don't even know your earthly father. But there are some things that has tied you. Right now, cry. Cry. Lord, set me free. I cut off myself, anything my country has tied me down to. Anything my family has tied me down to. Anything my father's house has tied me down. In the name of Jesus, I am free. I declare I am free. If you don't know how to receive Jesus today, just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart, my life, my plans. I lay it down 100%. Receive me. Oh, pray people. Pray for your children. Mother, pray for that child. Father, pray for that child. Bless your children. Bless them. From today, make up your mind. You are not going to keep telling your children what they can't do. Start telling them what they can do and watch them transform. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to give a prophetic word also to that couple. The reason why you are struggling in your marriage, you have not left father and mother. They are still influencing you. They are still dictating to you and your spouse. You are disobeying the word of God. Thus shall a man leave father, mother, cleave to the wife and become. You have to leave to become. You have to leave for you to start experiencing the miraculous. I pray healing in that home. I pray healing in that marriage. And finally, I pray right now, because God is the creator of your body. God is the creator of your organs. From the very strand of hair on your head to the sole of your foot, every organ, every tissue, every blood, water, vein, artery, your joints, your ligaments, yes, in the name of Jesus, your arteries, in the name that is above name, every name, Jesus, I speak to your body. Whether a part is missing in your body, whether something is wrong with your blood, I speak life into your blood. Because God created your blood, God will recreate whatever is wrong. If you need a new organ right now, lay your hands on where the doctor said that the organ is faulty. I say in the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you are set free from every infirmity, every pain. That organ becomes a new organ. In exchange, that heart becomes a new heart. In exchange for what God has created you for. Because God said so. By the stripes of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of the Lord that does not return to him void, by the word of the Lord that prospers into your life where it's been sent today, by the word of the Lord that never returns unaccomplished, I speak the word of the Lord to you wherever you are right now. You are set free, made whole again. Receive a creative miracle. Receive a new organ, new blood, new water, new system, nervous system, digestive system, in the name of Jesus. Lord, for your glory, I've declared your word. Confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.